Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we head to the Italian city of Turin to ponder a towering relic of the country's fascist past. Politely referred to by the residents as Mussolini's finger, the skyscraper has remained standing despite the wishes of locals, and its central location makes it a memory that's rather difficult to ignore. Here's Monocle's Chiara Rimella.
Skyscrapers are metaphorical things. Put a Freudian hat on and it will become pretty obvious that the upward thrust of modernity is proudly virile. It's not surprising, then, that Italy's fascist dictator Benito Mussolini did like towers. Il Duce liked standing legs akimbo, hands on his hips. He swam through straits and seas. He worked shirtless in the fields. He was, in his eyes and those of the people, a manly man of action. Before him, nobody had brought the new buildings in the style of Chicago to Italy. But come the 1930s, his well-established regime was moulding a country in its own image. Buildings became propaganda, their aesthetics an almost impossible marriage between the clean lines of ancient Roman architecture and the futurism of modernity. Skyscrapers couldn't miss from Mussolini's arsenal. It may not have been the first fascist tower in Italy, nor the country's most famous, but Turin's Torre Littoria is almost too obvious an example of fascism's ability to make an architectural point. Turin is an elegant, genteel city, all sober 18th century palazzos and Baroque churches. It is homogeneous, red-roofed, remarkably low-rise. It is here that the monarchic family, the Savoia, started building their countrywide reign, but the city's position up in the northwest of the country meant it couldn't function as the capital of unified Italy for long. By 1865, the official administrative seat was moved to Florence and later to Rome. Yet Turin and its royal palaces remained inextricably linked to the monarchs. The Torre Littoria was originally planned to rise elsewhere, further away from the centre of the city, but as the central Via Roma was being redeveloped to become the city's commercial artery, it was decided the new tower should be built at the road's end, on Piazza Castello. Smack bang in the centre of town and very non-incidentally, right in front of Palazzo Reale. The royal family's former residence sat, low slung and magnificent, just on the other side of the square. The project for the Torre Littoria was drawn up in 1933 by Armando Melis de Villa and Giovanni Bernocco. The tall, stridently straight structure, topped by a turret and a spire, was drawn to reach 87 metres and watched the royal palace comfortably from above. Rumours abound it was originally built to host the headquarters of the fascist party. Eventually, the structure got bought out to become the offices of Reale Mutua, Turin's most powerful insurers. In the 1930s, Mussolini was the country's leader maximus in a country that remained, after all, a monarchy. The king might not have had much actual power, but his presence was still conspicuous. In a typical fascist display of tireless strength and bravado, works to build the tower went on night and day, and the tower was completed in an impressively short amount of time. By 1934, it made its aggressive entrance on the elegant square. Its red bricks, square windows, and, well, the absolute disproportionate size of it made it quite noticeably stand out. Enthusiastic residents and businesses, though, were keen to move into this very innovative structure. Not only was this the first building in Italy to feature a welded metal frame, but the materials inside the flats, glass brick, clinker brick, and linoleum, were all the stuff of the future. At first, the tower earned itself the title of highest apartment building in Italy, and come the 40s, it housed the city centre's anti-bombing siren. But soon enough, it started getting nicknames too. The Turinese, forever polite, started calling it Mussolini's finger. But not only that, the Torre Littoria became known as the Arrogant Tower, or rather more straightforwardly, the Eyesore. There are those who recognise and appreciate the value of fascist-era architecture. Its austere lines, its strict angles, its showy monumentality. Others dislike it. They hate its aesthetics and mainly the ideology they so blatantly represent. In Turin, like elsewhere in Italy, people have wished the Torre Littoria away. Its incongruous presence is a perennial, uncomfortable reminder of a violent rip in a city's history. If the Aragon Tower failed to merge with the city's fabric after all, it's also because attempts to open a cafe, a restaurant, or even just a panoramic elevator inside the tower have all failed. The Torre Littoria has remained closed off to everybody bar the few who inhabit it. It's an awkward leftover of a time that many would rather forget, but that cannot be erased from memory. And so the finger stands, sticking out, impenetrable and brazen, right in our faces.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Chiara Ramella for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.